Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back. So, housing. Housing's improving. Yay! Wonderful, finally, right? So, this is a subject that comes up a lot in financial planning conversations I have with people. And, you know, for a lot of people, housing wealth is a significant part, if not one of the largest parts, of their overall financial picture. Aside from a 401k or a retirement account or something of the like, it's one of the biggest assets. So we have to pay attention to our housing. And of course, as people plan for retirement, which I'm a little tuned into here on this program, it's something that people need to look at and say, hey, is this something I need to tap by accessing this equity in some way, either selling it or downsizing or maybe doing a reverse mortgage or something else? Or is this something I just simply need to be aware of for buying and selling? So we're going to kind of get into housing a little bit. And there's a lot happening. And lucky for us, there's a reporter over at MarketWatch that is just all over housing and mortgages and all of that. Andrea Riquier is our guest, and she is with MarketWatch. And if you want to follow her, you can follow her on Twitter, or you can go to MarketWatch.com. And she's just, I mean, just it's an article almost every day. So she's all over the subject. Before joining MarketWatch as a housing finance reporter, she also is a reporter for Investment Business Daily and covered the economy and central bank. So we're very fortunate to have her on the program. Andrea, welcome to the program. Glad to have you with us.
Hi.
So, Andrea, I want to ask you, there's so many things we can get to here, and I guess I can run through the list. First of all, I got to ask you a question. How do you write all these? I mean, there's just, there's a long list, and we only found a few. How do you stay on touch? I mean, do you have like secret sources, like in the back of a bar, or, you know, on the street corner, you get all tips? How's it work in your world?
I should be so lucky. I feel very blessed to cover housing because it is a very complicated, very wonky, very nuanced, very exciting financial market that also touches so many people. You know, for many people, their home is the biggest investment they'll make. It's a way of passing equity through the generations. Everybody can relate to it. So it's a really fun area to cover.
Excellent. Well, there's a lot happening. And, you know, for a lot of people out there, I know that a lot of people don't really, of course, don't cover it anywhere near what you're doing. But even in some of the headlines, they may not be aware of. So we'll just kind of jump in here, if you don't mind. There are first the government-sponsored entities. Our government basically has a heavy influence and a fair amount of control that they exert over the mortgage markets with their controlled and owned entities, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And there was a bailout, and there was other things in the past where they were very profitable. Then they became very unprofitable and had huge losses. And of course, a lot of it had to do with what we went through in the Great Recession, 06, 08, 09, all of that. So where are we today? And I mean, I hear there's talk, and again, reading your articles, there's talk about maybe restructuring these entities. And I guess my question is, you know, why and what's the goal there, and why do we need to do that? So give us kind of a quick primer on what's happening.
So remind me how much time we have. The really short answer is that we were in a crisis. We were in a financial crisis in 2008, and we put a Band-Aid on the problem, and we left it there, and the economy changed, and okay, things moved on, and that's where we are. We're still in limbo with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
So we can yank the Band-Aid off.
Well, you may know that Congress is not always super motivated to take action.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would require Congress taking action. And there have been some attempts, some very thoughtful attempts over the years to, you know, the word is reform. That's sometimes a loaded word. But, you know, to change Fannie and Freddie and
sure,
sort of figure out once and for all what the housing finance system is going to look like, and they've gone nowhere. And now, not because of what happened in 2008, but because of something that happened in 2012, when the Treasury Department changed the terms of what happened in 2008, we're now in a really weird situation where Fannie and Freddie, by 2018, will no longer be able to hold any reserve money, any capital.
Why is that?
Okay. Very controversial. I was hoping you wouldn't ask. Very, you know, there's a lot of lawsuits going on right now, you know, over that issue.
Okay.
One short answer is that previously, every quarter, when Fannie and Freddie reported results, just like any publicly traded company, they would send money to the Treasury, but then have to take money back.
I see.
So now we're just sort of dwindling them down to zero. And that's just like any, you know, any company has good quarters and bad quarters.
Right.
And Freddie just reported earnings today. I'm on the road, so I haven't taken a close look at them. But they had a loss. And so, you know, the question is, they did not have enough of a loss that they had to draw more money from the U.S. government, from taxpayers.
Right.
But they had a loss. Hmm. So, you know, the question is sort of, this is not sustainable. This is obvious it's not sustainable. And the question is, what do we do with
Okay, so there's a need to restructure because of the nature of the beast with these entities. And I guess the thing that made me scratch my head a little bit, I'm like, okay, what are we driving at this? And I guess it's a matter of capital and ongoing involvement in the mortgage market. And, you know, for people out there that are not as familiar with, you know, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, you know, they basically buy up the mortgages, right, that are done out on Main Street and then package them up and then sell them off, and they become basically bonds.
Right. We would not have the luxury of the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage if not for Fannie and Freddie.
Yay, Freddie.
Yeah, and you know, you may be listening to this and thinking, you know, I've got my mortgage, I don't need another one, get rid of them, but you need to sell your home at some point.
Exactly.
Into a functioning market. So,
and there's an incredible amount of liquidity that's attained by having these entities.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, there you are. I mean, that's the whole point of this. And so there needs to be something done to basically address. And I guess back to the analogy of the Band-Aid and you know, fixing this, you know, there are, of course, quote unquote, parties of interest that some people want the Band-Aid pulled off. Some don't want the Band-Aid. Some people want to put stitches in. Somebody just wants to let it bleed. I mean, there's a lot of competing agendas, right?
Sure. It's the most controversial thing I write about. I published a story on Friday suggesting that Freddie could have a loss. And I had, you know, email like you wouldn't believe within an hour.
Really?
People are very excited by this issue.
All right. Well, listen, this is a very important subject, and we got more to get to. If you're just joining us, Andrea Riquier is our guest, and we're going to grab a quick break, come back and talk with our MarketWatch reporter. MarketWatch.com is the website. Lots more housing and values going up, mortgage delinquencies. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, president and managing partner of Rice and Rose. The Rice and Rose Law Firm has a department dedicated to estate planning, wills, trusts, and probate. We also provide legal guidance if you need a power of attorney, living will, or health care surrogate. Contact the Rice and Rose Law Firm at our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222. Or visit our website at ricerosenlaw.com.
Hello, this is David Holland. You already know from listening to this program that I'm very careful about my financial advice. It will come as no surprise then that I feel the same way about my other recommendations. If you love traditional, authentic Greek food as much as I do, then there's just one place to go, the Greek Town Taverna at 150 North Nova Road in Ormond Beach. It's just around the corner from my office, so you'll see me there for lunch at least a couple times a week. They've got stuffed grape leaves, gyros, lamb chops, octopus, and baklava. You can find all of these wonderful homemade Greek favorites every day of the week. They offer a wide variety of wine and beer to pair with your meal as well. Visit GreekTownTaverna.com or call 386-944-9526 for more information. I'll see you there. Hey, David Holland here. I'd like you to listen closely to a few words from my good friends Tony Papandrea and Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation.
Hi, I'm Tony, chairman of the Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation. If you need more income now with some tax advantages and would like to leave a future benefit for Florida Hospital Hospice Care, a charitable gift annuity might be a good fit for you. Learn how to include charitable gift annuities in your financial planning. They could benefit you with higher tax advantage yields than you are getting now and benefit Florida Hospital Hospice Care later. Call us at 386-586-4440. For more information.
Hey, welcome back. Andrea Riquier is our guest, MarketWatch reporter, and she's writing a lot of wonderful articles over at MarketWatch.com. And we're digging into a little bit on housing. We talked about how mortgages are underwritten and purchased and creating a lot of liquidity with these government-sponsored entities. GSEs, throw that out to your friends and impress them in a cocktail party. GSEs, these GSEs owned by the government, providing much-needed liquidity. And kind of to that point, we really need to talk about, Andrea, where housing is now. We're seeing some cities around the country see some significant growth, but then overall, it's kind of, you know, not improving here recently. So give us kind of a picture. I mean, things are looking up, right, with housing.
Yeah, you know, all real estate is local.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of cheesy and, you know, an old-fashioned cliche, but it's true. There's, broadly speaking, I think it's fair to say that since housing started to recover, there's been a little bit of a divergence between the really healthy economies, San Francisco, Denver, Portland, places that have, you know, tech, you know, have sort of growing young economies.
Right, right.
And a lot of places are sort of left behind. I'm speaking to you from Indiana, where I'm doing some reporting on the housing markets here. And, you know, in little pockets of Indianapolis, there are bidding wars.
Oh, really?
You know, starter homes. But broadly speaking, it just hasn't recovered the way, you know, some of these hot luxury metros have.
Well, some of the areas like Dallas and Denver and, you know, Seattle, Portland.
Yep.
Wow. I mean, some of these are in the double-digit growth rate. That's pretty remarkable.
Right, and have been for a while. And so the question is that sustainable? San Francisco recently, I guess maybe in March, saw prices decelerate for the first time. So maybe that's an indication that, you know, high prices are just not sustainable for a healthy market.
Mm-hmm. Well, it can't go up forever. I mean, you know, I'll get to say it. You spoke to kind of the cliche earlier. It's different this time, right? I mean, it's going to go up forever. I mean, you know, what's funny to me is forever I've looked at financial planning software and tried to use it, never really found it that effective, and ended up developing my own way of presenting plans to clients that are much more effective, Andrea. But, you know, what was interesting is they always assumed, you know, hey, plug in your growth rate for housing, and it's always in perpetuity. It's like, no, it doesn't work that way.
Sure. I think one of the things that is different this time that's healthy is that it seems that people are looking at prices of real estate as, and sort of evaluating it as an asset,
yeah,
rather than as a bubble investment craze that they want to be in on.
That certainly would demonstrate or be conducive to a much healthier market, not people getting into this hyper active flipping and whatnot. I did hear a commercial the other day for somebody wanting to get you into flipping houses, and I, you know, we start hearing probably more about that, but at least right now it's not become prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that'll be interesting to watch. So we're seeing the housing improve. They slipped overall in March, according to the article you wrote, but then we look at specific areas. We are seeing some strength now. It's city by city, but home sellers are seeing some strong appreciation since the recession. So, I mean, that's definitely a wonderful sign because, you know, again, we spoke earlier about that being really one of a lot of people's number one asset. That's a lot of equity that can be tapped or,
sure,
you know, accessed either with some sort of financing or refinancing or just simply selling and sell that big house up north and move to sunny Florida.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's a seller's market, and it's harder when you're a buyer, you know, and it's harder for people who are in the more vulnerable categories of buyers, first-timers, people who can't pay cash, you know, so it's a healthier market, but it still has challenges, I would say.
Well, and I guess related to all that, you talked about, you know, seller's market and for buyers, you know, but there is improvement that's happened with the mortgage delinquencies in general.
Yes.
What's got to be having the lenders feeling good about lending money.
It's true. You know, people really saw the light. People got religion, you know, after the crisis. Lenders have become much more strict, and some people would say too strict. You know, to keep feeding into this market, you know, to keep it healthy. Overall, however, you know, there are shifts in terms of how lending is happening. Banks aren't as interested in mortgage lending as they have been in the past. It's just a low margin business,
mm-hmm,
and
So how's that gap being filled?
It's being filled by
brokers.
What's sometimes called, you know, non-banks, what's sometimes called mortgage bankers,
okay.
Quicken,
sure.
You know, online lenders like that.
Okay. So non-bank lenders.
Non-bank.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There are those out there. People are out there listening to us scratching their head. But there
are. Quicken does business, you know, a lot of business.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are very happy with Quicken.
Yeah, there's a lot of options out there besides going to the regular brick and mortar bank that people can look at. And I mean, lowest delinquencies in 16 years. When I read that article you wrote back in April 22nd, I was like, wow, that's a heck of a statistic.
Right. Not even since the crisis, but, you know, way before that.
That's right. I mean, that's going, as you well put, that's going back to 2000.
Right.
Wow. You're just joining us. Andrea Riquier is our guest, MarketWatch reporter, MarketWatch.com. Lots more to get into with housing. Is it sustainable? Is it becoming unaffordable with the rising housing prices? Well, we'll dig into that a little bit more right after this quick break. Stay right there.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Support The Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y, for a better us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services, including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
These are challenging times for investors. The stock market is volatile, with 10% drops a common historical occurrence. Is your financial portfolio prepared for such a correction? What about inflation? What's your plan when that gallon of milk or gallon of gasoline costs $16? And what about interest rates? Did you know that a 10-year bond could drop 10% if interest rates rose just 1%? What's your plan for that? Holland Financial has all the answers to questions like these and practical steps to help you hedge against these negative events. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting with David Holland.
Hey, we're back. Andrea Riquier is on the line, MarketWatch reporter, just feeding us lots of great information about housing, mortgages, and where we're headed. And one of the things that we touched on, Andrea, was the rising value of homes and seeing some pretty significant appreciation, especially in certain markets. And that then begs the question, which of course is answered in your March 24th article about think housing is affordable and only is getting worse. Realty Track had a report out that I know that you had referenced. And, you know, we're getting into a territory where we start looking at the average wages and then comparing in a particular market and comparing that to the median home price, not the average, but the median, so kind of bunched up in the middle, and looking at that relationship, and at some point, it becomes unsustainable, and then, therefore, the demand may wane when the prices get too high.
Yeah, that's well put, and I think it's important to point out that this is not just an ownership story. The high demand and low supply is also a renting story,
yeah.
And many experts think that we will be a renter society more than we have in the past for some time to come.
Because of this disconnect?
Well, because our population is changing ethnically, because baby boomers may be selling the homes that they've lived in for a long time and moving into smaller rentals.
I get that question.
Yes. Yeah.
I get that question a lot, actually, more, you know, when it, again, not to belabor the point, but housing is such a large part of many people's financial picture that it's become more and more common for them to say, okay, let's look at my assets and, okay, I've got my 401k, I've got my, you know, my regular brokerage account, I've got cash, CDs, money market, whatever, and I've got my house.
Yep.
And then they say, let's, you know, how do we deploy these assets to get me the income I want? And you speak to baby boomers. They want to know that they have the wherewithal and flexibility to live that carefree lifestyle that they have been dreaming of all of their working years. And, you know, they look at all of these assets.
Sure. You know, it's interesting that the media, and that's me, spend so much time talking about millennials, because what's going on with baby boomers, who were previously the biggest generation, is pretty interesting as well.
I think so. And I will confess that, you know, the millennials, I know what they are, who they are and what they're about. But, you know, the focus right now, and of course, where a lot of the demand and also where a lot of the money is and a lot of need for services is in these baby boomers that, you know, it was just the other day, Andrea, that they were turning 65. Now they're turning 70. We got 10,000 of them a day saying, I'm retiring. And they're looking at these assets. And to your point, they're reevaluating, maybe becoming more mobile, maybe saying, do I really need a house? I really want to just be able to lock the door and leave and go on cruises or travel or have maybe a place I rent up north, a place I rent down south, and then keep my money otherwise working.
Right.
It's interesting.
You know, it's still worth saying that there are still not enough homes to buy. And, you know, and one of the things that's been interesting to me to watch over the past couple of months is the Realtors Group, who reports on the previously owned home sales. They've started asking the builders group to start building already.
Oh, really?
Because you know, even though their interest is in documenting, you know, and monitoring the health of existing homes, that market is going to see the same crunch that you were just talking about.
Hmm.
You know, if there just isn't enough supply in the market broadly.
I'm with you now. Well, I talked to this is not necessarily you know, statistically valid. Okay, I talked to a builder, and they were telling me how, you know, a couple years ago, it wasn't the best year. Then last year, 2015, was better, and 2016 is looking to be one of their strongest years they've had in a long time. So we're certainly seeing, and, you know, I don't need to tell you, I know that you follow this very closely, Andrea, that, you know, when building is such an integral part of our economy, because it drives so many other parts.
That's right, absolutely. Particularly the single family homes.
Yeah.
They're not as cost effective to build as the multifamily, the big apartment building.
Sure.
So there's more people employed, more people spending in the economy. Yeah, it's a good thing when builders are building.
The spending, I mean, you quick list things that pop in my head. Moving trucks.
Exactly.
You know, relocation,
right.
Furniture,
right.
You know, we're
right.
I think we want some new furniture, selling that furniture, realtors, right. Of course, you know,
right.
I mean, all of these tangent related, and then, of course, all the subcontractors. I mean, good grief. It's just, and dare I say, beneficial for the local economy in terms of jobs that may be created or things may be relocated, or also the benefit to the cities. Imagine that, of getting tax revenue bolstered by not only increasing home values, but, you know, just the sheer number of homes being built, increasing the number of units.
That's right. 15% of GDP.
That's huge. Very good. Well, now, that's an excellent segue. Thank you for that, Andrea. My next and final question for you really relates to the magnitude or the size of this as it relates to the overall economy. And this ties into another thing you wrote back on March 22nd was about recession related. You know, does all this turn into a bubble? Could that bubble then be the cause of another recession? Or is it, again, I hate to make it kind of a tongue-in-cheek cliche, but is it different this time? Do we have a lot of room to go, you know, with, will it be different? I mean, I guess that's the question. And, you know, if we're not prepared, how can we get prepared?
Right. I mean, I don't think anybody thinks that we're in a housing bubble. I think that there are certainly little local areas, like we talked about, San Francisco, you know, Dallas, Portland, Seattle, where maybe the behavior is bubblicious. But, you know, I don't think anybody thinks that housing is going to blow up or certainly bring down the economy the way it did a couple years ago. hopefully.
Well, you know, they could turn that into a song, you know, kind of like Fergalicious and do it for the realtors and housing. And right. It's Bubblicious. Yeah, that's good. No, that's funny. Well, I think that, again, as you said before, which is really the key point. And so let's take a couple minutes here and kind of speak to the buyers and sellers out there, and not to take the role or try to usurp the realtor's advice to would-be buyers and sellers. But, you know, if we look at both sides, you know, we look at interest rates still being very, 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 very low, five varies in there, for the buyer to buy more home for the same amount of down payment and monthly payment. And then there is such greater demand for the seller to say, you know what, maybe now is the time for me to right-size, downsize, or do something else. And also higher values for refinancing.
Sure. You know, if I could add one more thing, one of the very interesting things that Fannie Mae researchers discovered, and it's been, you know, other folks have corroborated it. A lot of owners don't understand how much equity they have in their homes and how much they could sell for. And a lot of people believe that it's just maybe a little bit of ignorance that's holding back people from listing their home and creating more supply, which, as we talked about, is so needed.
Yeah, I think that isn't, yeah, let's distinguish between ignorance and dumb. It's not that people are dumb, it's just that they don't, ignorance meaning they don't know, you know to look or haven't thought about it. And I think, quite candidly, a lot of people just got into kind of a shell shock, put it out of my mind mode, and, you know, housing is depressed, housing's depressed, housing's still depressed. I, you know, maybe housing will come back, and little do they know their house may have appreciated 25 to 50%.
Sure. No, I think that's fair. I think the financial crisis was, you know, very devastating.
And I think people just got used to the fact that housing is still on the mend. And, you know, but we're, what, I mean, good, you know, 7-8 years out from that pretty brutal time. And it will not be lost on anybody's mind anytime soon that how bad and ugly things were. And, you know, a lot of people just took a bunker mentality, and maybe they're still going, you know, it probably hasn't come up enough. And they go out and they look at different sources. So there's still a lot of, I think, of education, and it will come as people hear more and more about people moving and people having good results with maybe doing exactly what we talked about.
Sure. Yeah, no, I think it's a healthy market now, generally speaking, again, with the caveat that everything is local.
Yeah. All disclaimers and caveats apply on this program, Andrea.
Right.
Yeah, very good. Well, if you just joined us, ladies and gentlemen, Andrea Riquier has been our guest, MarketWatch reporter, MarketWatch.com. Great commentary, Andrea. We'll be sure to get back with you and have you come back and talk with us again. Andrea Riquier, ladies and gentlemen, our guest, thanks for being with us.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.